I was getting signals from the back. I did check in before for a bling check. He comes, Neil, when he gives me the microphone to check what bling I've got on so it's not knocking against it. Praise God. We're going to look today again, continuing our studies in Colossians, and we're into chapter 3, and we're looking at being alive in Christ. You know, we can call ourselves Christians, but never look like one. And Paul is outlining here to the Christians what it is to be alive in Christ. Galatians 2 and verse 20 says, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me." And we picture this in our baptism, don't we? For those of us who have been baptized, and I'm talking about the type of baptism we practice here, which is adult baptism, when you know exactly what you're doing. And you go down into the water. And when you go down, the picture is that you're burying that old life. It's dead, and now you're burying that old life. And when you rise up, you're rising up to new life in Christ. The old life was only ever down here, if you like. What's going on in the world down here? The circumstances that we're in, the old attitudes, the fears, the actions, the view on what's right and what's wrong. But the new life compels us to lift our eyes out of the mud we're in, if you like, and lift our eyes to heaven. Lift our eyes to see what God has for us. Being alive in Christ isn't something that hits us while we're just sitting in a seat there. We have to work it out in our lives. The onus is on us, if you like. We have to take up what Jesus has put in our lives and work it out in this world. It's not to say we work for our salvation. Please understand, salvation is a free gift from God. But when God puts his life into our lives, we've got to learn how to work that out. We have to take the onus upon ourselves and appropriate what Jesus has done in our lives. And so I need to die a little every day. It doesn't, in most folks, happen overnight. I've got to learn to die a little. Those things that God shows me that he doesn't want in my life, I've got to learn to let them die. And I've got to rise to the new life that Jesus has put in me so that the beauty of Jesus can be seen in me. So that when you look at me, you don't see anything of the old life. You see the beauty of Jesus. And to one degree or another, we're getting there. That's what we need to be doing as Christians. And Paul is explaining to these Colossian Christians and to us who read his word today just how to do that. And he says, firstly, in chapter 3 and verse 1, seek the things that are above. It says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights. This is the New Living Translation. Set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Seek the things that are above. Set your sights on the realities of heaven. And you know that word seek is in the present continuous tense that you'll hear a lot about when we talk about the Greek. And so it means seek and go on seeking those things. It doesn't just happen in a one-off thing. It's a lifetime quest that we seek the things that are above, that we leave behind the concern about worldly things, and we make our focus the things that are above, where Christ lives and where he reigns. And then he says, set your mind, verse 2, Set your mind. Think about the things of heaven. Set your mind on the things that are above. Set your mind on the things of heaven, not on the things of earth. Not on the things of earth. And that Greek word for set your mind has to do with our understanding. It has to do with our mindset. And what he's implying here is there needs to be a change of mindset. It says in Romans 12, 2, doesn't it? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, or don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And we need to understand that. We need to begin to have the mind of Christ. You know, that's not easy. That is something we work at in our lives each day. If we're going to react in a situation that we're faced with suddenly, let's stop. And let's say, how would Jesus handle this situation? Let's not go into what we would have done in the past, maybe, and reacted. But let's say, Jesus, how would you handle this? And you know, if you're in doubt, the Gospels are full of the way Jesus handled just about everything. All kinds of different situations and people that he faced and how he would handle them. Our faith shouldn't be emotional. We shouldn't be reacting through our emotions. Our faith is our belief. I believe what I believe will control how I act. And so we need to fix our eyes on those things that are above and change our mindset set. And if you're wondering, what is worldly then? Well, ask yourself the question, in the light of eternity, does it matter? When something crops up in your life, in the light of eternity, does it matter? Does it matter? If you get bogged down in it, you're getting bogged down in worldly things. And verse 3 says, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. This isn't something to be mourned. You know, my old life has gone, and so I'm mourning my old life. God isn't changing my nature, the person that I am, because he's going to use the person I am and what I'm like. But he's taking away from me that stuff that was rubbish. And so I don't mourn over my old life going, because the result of my old life is separation from the Lord. Separation from God, hell. Hell, how many times do we hear that in today's world? I don't want to go there, but that's the result of my old life. I remember some years ago when Anthony Perkins died. I guess a lot of you will know him as the famous actor and the person who starred in Psycho. And when he was dying, he looked back over his life, and he was successful as an actor. He had plenty of money and all of those other things. But as he looked back over his life, and it was recorded on the news, he said, everything I've ever done doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Isn't that a sad thing? Because you see, that's what our old worldly life does. There's nothing to it. At the end of the day, we reflect and say, what was that all about? Where has that got me? And that's what Anthony Perkins discovered. It doesn't amount to a hill of beans. But the new life brings abundance. It's eternal. And it starts when we accept what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Jesus said this in John 17 and verse 3. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. And so as we know him more, we move in that eternal, abundant life that he's given us. And so things change. So baptism is that picture of moving out, if you like, of the realm of death and into the realm of abundant, eternal life. The onus is on you and me to appropriate that, to be alive in Christ. And Paul goes on to explain how to do it. Therefore, put to death. Put to death. And he lists in verse 5, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. And because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger. Get rid of anger. How many of us get angry? Get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you've stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on the new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, if you're circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. The onus is on me. God will never cut across my free will. And as you learn what God requires, do it. The onus is on you. Just do it. Then you will be alive in Christ. You will be a new creation, and the old will be gone. And this is a process over our lifetime. God is dealing with things in me today that I've had all my life, and I've been a Christian 50 odd years. But now is His time to deal with this particular thing or that particular thing. He's a patient, patient God. And He will deal with us as He sees in His time. And so we need to be prepared when God is showing us that has got to go, that we are prepared to say yes. It will. All kinds of different things. Theft. Gosh, you might say, I'm not a thief. But how many people have fiddled their tax return? How many people have defrauded the insurance? You know, my shower leaked a couple of weeks ago now. And it came through the ceiling and onto my kitchen floor, a pool. And so I've got one of those house insurance, which includes home emergency. And I got onto them and they said, get yourself a plumber, because if we do it, it'll take ages. Get yourself a plumber and then send us the bill. And anything up to £250, we'll pay. So I get a plumber, a really good plumber. He's a really lovely guy. And he said, I said to him, okay, Ian, how much do I owe you? And he said, I'm charging you £100 for what I've done. And he said, but would you like me to inflate the invoice? He's a lovely guy, but he's worldly. And it's what they do in the world. That is normal in the world. It is not normal for a Christian. I said, whoa, no chance. What I need to pay, that's what I'll pay. Just charge me what is right. You know, we've got to be careful in every situation. It's so easy to get carried away, say, well, what does it matter? There are things which aren't obvious. That's obvious, but there are some things which aren't obvious that need to be changed in our lives. We are putting to death the old ways and we're putting on the new. The things that are listed, by the way, in this passage are only a selection. Paul couldn't possibly go through everything that's part of the old life. So don't think if you don't do some things in this list, you're clear, you're okay. This is only a selection. There are all sorts of things, like complaining. How many of us have complained in our lives? Me, I will put my hands up. I'm there too. Gossiping, backbiting. You know what God is challenging you to put off in your life, and you just need to do it. And I know in mine. So to be alive in Christ and to live in the abundance, you need to be putting off the old stuff on a daily basis. But also, Paul says to them, you need to clothe yourself with the new life. And that's another thing that God isn't forcing me to do. The onus is on me to do it. He wants me to be alive in him. And if I want to be alive in him, then I need to see what he's asking me to do. And Paul lists examples of what we should put on. And that's in verse 12. And it says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy. Tender-hearted mercy. Is that the way I feel toward those around me? Kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Is that the way I am with the people? Is that the way I am with Eddie? No. Is that the way I am with the people around me? No, when pressure comes, it makes you spill over, I guess, a lot of the time. But these are the things we've got to clothe ourselves with. Make allowance for each other's faults. Whoa, that's a bit hard. Make allowance for each other's faults. It's far more easy to complain about them. Make allowance for each other's faults. And forgive anyone who offends you. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. And so it's this whole idea of putting on things that were not our usual nature, if you like, in the past. I was looking, reading Word for Today this last week, and he talks about the path of pressure. And just let me read you this little bit. And he says, God will give you the grace and strength to go forward and pursue the path ahead. But understand this. It's not always an easy path. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and spacious and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many are those that are entering through it. But the gate is narrow, contracted by pressure, and the way is straitened and compressed that leads away to life. And few are those that find it. And here Jesus was preaching his famous Sermon on the Mount, where he outlined how you're supposed to live as a citizen of his kingdom. It's the difference between the many and the few. The first group chooses the path of ease, but the second chooses the path of pressure, realizing that tough as it may be, it forms the character of Christ in us. Pressure, not as in stress pressure, but the pressure not to conform to the world, but to stand out as those who are alive in him. How can I say I'm a Christian if I don't display the character of Christ? How can I be alive in him if I'm holding on to rubbish? You know, when I buy myself something new, and I do like clothes and jewelry, you might have guessed that by now, and I'll buy myself something new, I never put it on top of the old that I've got on. I never do. It's not what you would do. It's not normal, and it wouldn't look good. You'd see the old through. It would be bunched up underneath whatever you're putting on top. And so it would make the new stuff not look so good. So if I wouldn't do that with clothes, why on earth would I do it in my Christian walk? Why would I try to keep a hold of the old rubbish in my life and excuse myself for it and try at the same time to put on the new life in Christ? It doesn't work, and it affects the look of the new. It weakens the look of the new in your life. When we become Christians, it's a new kind of life. You weren't like this before. It wasn't easy to bear with those who have failings. It wasn't easy before. In fact, you perhaps maybe even didn't do it before. But now God is calling you to a different kind of behavior. And the thing about it is, it speaks to the world around. When I begin to look more like Jesus, it speaks to the world around. You see, if I'm in Christ, I have a different demeanor. Peace rules my heart. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Different demeanor. I'm not panicking in this coronavirus situation because I know God's numbered my days. I know that I'll live as long as he wants me to live. And if coronavirus comes and goes, well, it comes and it goes. Because I'm called to live in peace. And when I'm planted in him, I can live in the peace of that. And thankfulness. Am I describing you? Am I describing me? Is this the way we live? In peace and in thankfulness? Do you have an attitude of gratitude? Joyce Meyer, reads quite a bit of like daily things that you can just pick up and read and find them really good, you know, through the day. Give me another thought. And Joyce Meyer was talking about this thankfulness. And she said, I'm now in the position where I'm trying to think of 10 things every day and trying to think of 10 different things that I can say thank you to the Lord for. All kinds of different things, even to like the water in the tap. Aren't we so fortunate? You can put the tap on and drink that water. Have you seen those little children with the bottles going into the rivers where the cows are standing in and weeing in it? And those children are drinking those disgusting waters. Lord, I'm so thankful that I've got pure water coming out of my tap. An attitude of thankfulness for the things that we have every day. Different demeanor. It's different than the world. We don't complain. We don't live in fear. We live in peace when we're planted in him. Second thing, a different world view. Verse 16 says, let the message about Christ, or let the word of God, dwell in you richly. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. You know, if we know the word of God and we know his standards, we know what he thinks about all of the different things that are going on in our world, then we will move in it. The Bible is a roadmap for our lives. It's what our Creator put together, and he wants us to absorb that so that we begin to understand his ways, ones that are changeless. He doesn't change his mind by the minutes, and ones that bring us abundant life. The Bible is the roadmap. Use it to live your life by and encourage others to do the same. And if I'm in Christ, I have a different reason for living. Verse 17 says, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. I have a different reason for living. I'm not living that I might please myself, but that I might honor him by the way that I live. A different reason for living. The world lives to please itself. They live to do what is best for me today. But God calls me to honor him by the way that I live. And if I'm alive in Christ, I have a different standard in relationships. And Paul covers this in verse 18. He says, let every wife be supported and tenderly devoted to her husband. For this is a beautiful illustration of our devotion to Christ. Let every husband be filled with cherishing love for his wife and never be insensitive toward her. Let the children respect and pay attention to their parents in everything, for this pleases our Lord Jesus. And fathers, don't have unrealistic expectations for your children, or else they might become discouraged. Let every employee listen well and follow the instructions of their employer, not just when their employers are watching, and not in pretense, but faithful in all things. For we are to live our lives with pure hearts and in constant awe and wonder of our Lord God. And again, you know, if we had a world where that standard applied, what a difference it would make. And it's not exhaustive. He's mentioning here, husbands, wives, children, and workers and their employers. But he's talking about relationships in general. Have a different standard in your relationships. And then a different focus for our service. Verse 23 says this: put your heart and soul into every activity you do, as though you were doing it for the Lord himself and not merely for others. When you're doing something for someone, picture Jesus, especially if it's a hard thing. I tell you what, I'm learning this more than ever before. There are some things I'll do, you know, and I've had to do for Eddie that you never thought you would, you know, and just get on with it. It doesn't bother me too much. But I'm one of those people that's always, anything that comes out the mouth, I just can't cope with. You know, if somebody's sick, don't call me, please. I can't deal with that. But I used to work with special needs people. And, you know, this slobber and that kind of thing, and bless them, I couldn't handle it. It was just, I had to keep looking away. I just can't stand anything like that. And we went to the dentist, and he looked at Eddie's teeth, and Eddie's had two palates since he was 13. And he said he needed, you know, to be honest, he's not washing them as well as he should in his situation. And so I thought, oh, Lord, I've got to wash the teeth. I don't think I can do it. because I just hate that kind of thing. But, you know, I was just reminded of that. Whatever you do for someone else, do it as if you're doing it for the Lord. And as I asked him that first time to take his teeth out, I thought, these are Jesus' teeth. And I'm just going, do you know what? I've found it easy. Something I never thought I'd be able to do. Whatever you do, do it as if you're doing it for the Lord himself, because it makes a difference. It makes a difference. And put your heart and soul, it says, into every activity that you do. I'll tell you this, the best example I have ever seen of someone who does every job, or who did every single job, whatever it was, 100%, and never complained, was Eddie. I have never seen anybody that's been like that. It doesn't matter when he was a chartered accountant and people would come. I remember one fella coming with two bin bags full of receipts and invoices and stuff like that for his year-end accounts. Not in any monthly order, not in anything, just two bin bags full. I would have sent him packing and said, at least get them sorted. Not Eddie, just took the bags. Sat in the middle of our lounge floor with his legs crossed and all the stuff around, and just sat and worked through and produced a set of accounts out of that. It didn't matter what. He used to get complained about at the church work days in Emmanuel because he wouldn't give up. At the end of the day, they're going, come on, Ed, we want to go home. I'm just going to finish this. I'm just going to do this. Everything he ever does, he just does 100%. Never have I heard him complain about anything that he's ever done. Put your heart and soul into every activity that you do. It doesn't matter what it is. I remember I used to work out the cleaning teams in Emmanuel. We didn't pay cleaners, we did it ourselves. And it was grand to hear some of the excuses of people, you know, who didn't want to be on a cleaning team. I don't feel lead. We used to call that felt lead poisoning. And I was doing it one day, and we had one team was the leaders of the church. And we were doing it and cleaning and knowing it hadn't been done the previous week or whatever. And I remember cleaning the toilets and complaining, you know, Lord, you know, why aren't they, you know, doing their bit kind of stuff? And the Lord just reminded me, you're doing this for me. Do it to the best of your ability. Who cares about what others are doing? And we need to focus in whatever we do, to do with every ounce of our being, if you like. Put your heart and your soul into it. What an example it is to others when we do. If you're truly alive in Christ, these characteristics will be seen in you and in me. To the degree to which I surrender and put off the old ways and the old attitudes and absorb the new, to that degree, I will experience the abundance that God brings and I will be alive in Him. To the degree to which I display a different demeanor, peace and not fear, a different worldview, God's word and not the latest thinking in the world, a different reason for living, to honor Him and not to please myself, a different standard in my relationships, love, not selfishness, to go beyond selfishness and be loving to all that I meet and all that I have anything to do with, and a different focus for my service, doing it all for Him. To that degree, I will be alive in Christ, and the world will know there is a God in heaven. Hallelujah.